Welcome to the Highbury Squad. You can follow us on Twitter at Highbury Squad. In fact, it's the same on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and eventually iTunes. Join me, Sophie, aka at Soccer Diva, Amanda, aka at GoonaGirl1969, and our very special guest, Super Kev, Super Kevin Campbell. It's just like being down the pub with your mates.
Welcome to the Highbury Squad Pod. The name and characters may have changed just a smidgen, but the quality is the same. Dare I say it's going to be even better. Joining me, as per usual, my podcast sister and partner in crime, Amanda, aka Princess Guna. Welcome to the Highbury Squad Pod, Amanda.
Hello. Oh, the Highbury Squad. We are the Highbury Squad.
We are indeed. And we've added a little hot sauce on the side. Mr. Kevin Campbell, aka KC, welcome to the squad.
Hi, ladies. How are you? I'm glad to be with you.
Hello, Treacle. How are you?
I'm very, very well, thank you. Great to be back.
Excellent. Listen, guys, this is how we're going to be coming at you this season. Amanda and I will be hosting the show. Mr. Kevin Campbell has been very gracious to join the squad this season, and we will be, you know, joining us as our special guest. He may not be on every week, but we're hoping he will be on as often as possible throughout the coming months as we go. We even got a little surprise for him at the end of the show, a little segment especially for our boy KC here. But let's get this show on the road. Today's tactical formation is a 4-3-3. We've got four subjects. We've got three things to throw at you, and then three things on our laundry list that we need to get done before the end of the show. Okay. On the docket, Ozil, I wanted to touch base with you guys on this. It's not old news because people are still talking about it, but I was curious to know if you guys thought that Ozil's coming out, retiring from the German squad, considering all the flack he's received, do you think that was brave or do you think that was ill-advised? KC?
I thought Mesut Ozil was very brave in what he'd done. The flack he's taken was nothing short of disgraceful as far as I'm concerned. You know, he's put everybody to task in his statement. It was pretty in-depth, the statement. And I think the fitting lines of that statement was when he said, when we win, I'm German, but when we lose, I'm an immigrant. I think a lot of people around the world could relate to it. And it's not on. And he's still got extra flack from the German FA, etc. And it left a terrible taste in the mouth. And you know what? Rightly so, because if they don't want you, Mesut, you know, don't play to them. You've done fantastically well for Germany. You've been a huge part, played a huge part in their success. And you walk away with your dignity. That's what I honestly think.
Amanda, do you think that this is going to be something that ends up being a benefit to Arsenal with him not having to focus on international football anymore?
Well, you are a witch, because I was just about to say that Germany's loss is Arsenal's gain. And that is exactly it. You know, I can't not agree with anything Kevin says. All I'm going to say is this, for him to feel like that, there must be something in it. For him to come out and do that and just not retire, there must be something in it. He's always been made a scapegoat. We all watched the whole World Cup. We all know that Germany weren't great. I didn't know Mesut Ozil was just Germany. I thought the whole team contributed, but hey-ho. It's very hard for me to talk about Ozil, as everybody knows. Feel sorry for the boy. And you know what? Brave, very brave. To want to play for a country that you were brought up in and to be treated like that, I wouldn't have stayed as long as he did.
I think it's really indicative of how Ozil kind of became a bit of a scapegoat with the media in particular during Arsenal's really poor spell last season. He seems to be a really super easy target. Clearly, he's a very sensitive young fella, and he lets things really get under his skin. But on this occasion, to come out and say the things you have, and then to see the response from the Bayern Munich head honcho was just a added kind of, you know, more validity to what Ozil was saying, didn't it? I felt like that comment was really poor. And then to see him be given the captain's armband, that to me was a really good first coaching move by our new boy, Unai Emery, you guys. It seemed like he put his arm around him. He gave him the captain's armband in that game against PSG in Singapore, where we put in a really good performance. And perhaps this could actually be the making of him.
I just think that was very good by Emery, wasn't it? I think some players need to be loved. Kev, when you were at Arsenal, was there any players that you played with that needed that arm around the shoulder?
Well, under George Graham, there was quite a few lads who needed the arm around the shoulder because the regime at the time was not only was it a perfectionist regime, but it was a really hard and robust way to play football. But it got the right results. So there was quite a few players who found themselves in and around the team, but not necessarily, you know, regulars. So you find any manager says it's the players that ain't in the team who you have to keep happy. So, you know, the manager had a certain way. The assistant manager, Theo Foley, was key to George Graham because he would always be the one who put his arm around you. And to be fair, the dressing room was pretty good. Everybody tended to do things together. So, you know, even if there was any little bit of a disgruntlement, that squad stuck together, which is key.
Yeah, and I just thought the way Unai handled that silently, didn't come out, didn't say anything, just gave him that captain's armband as if to say, you know what, you're my boy, you know, you're a leader in this team, and these are the expectations that I have of you. And I think Ozil could end up having his greatest Arsenal season yet. Another player who I think Arsenal fans have been split about in the past, but more I think united on right now is Rambo. And, you know, he provides a certain history and consistency, but I don't think you should be rewarded for history and consistency and having the pedigree of being at Arsenal Football Club for years. I felt that about Jack Wilshere. I think it was time for the club that they moved on. Most Gooners feel though differently, I think, with Rambo in terms of what he brings to the table, in terms of being not only good enough to play, but more importantly, maybe good enough to be made captain. The rumours about Dembélé have kind of subsided a little bit, but are still there. In this transition of Arsenal Football Club, Casey and Amanda, I think it's very important that we hold on to a player like Rambo. Agree or disagree?
Go on, Amanda.
I wanted Rambo to be my captain, to be honest. I don't want him to leave. Dembélé looks a great player, only over, 21, 22, whatever he is. I do have this thing, and Kev might disagree slightly, being an ex-player, but if you're not going to sign your contract, then you have to go, and he's not. So I don't want Ramsey to go. But what were you supposed to do? Be held to ransom? Kev, I mean, it was different in your day, wasn't it? Weren't the clubs more in charge of players?
Yeah, the clubs had the power.
Yeah.
To be honest. It makes life a lot more difficult when obviously a player has the power, or really we're talking about agents. The agent has the power. Arsenal's lack of activity signing up their own squad has left the club in a serious situation. Look, you don't have your best two players, Ozil and Sanchez, running their contracts down. That shouldn't happen. So what they should have done is learned from that situation and made sure the likes of Ramsey do not get.
Yes. Yep.
To that point.
Yeah.
You know, they don't. But whether it was because of the Arsene Wenger situation, they weren't sure how long he was going to stay and they didn't want to overcommit because of a new manager, I don't know. But there's been a severe lack of leadership inside that football club to get these contracts done. And now, you know, we're seeing the fruit of that. And it's rotten fruit because we want him to stay because he's important to us. But if he's not going to sign, you're right, Amanda. He has to go.
Well, I don't think it's as cut as dry as the Wilshere situation, but I do agree. Like, if you've been offered a contract, clearly there's something that he's not happy about. In his last press conference after training, I can't remember where they were. He was kind of, you know, in usual player fashion, putting it on. Why? I'll leave that to my agent and the club. Well, sometimes I don't think you should always leave it up to the agent in terms of whether or not you truly know if you want to play for Arsenal Football Club. Does he want to continue playing for Arsenal Football Club? Has he seen something in Unai Emery that leads him to believe that, you know, he doesn't want to be there? From what I can gather from what all the players are saying, they seem very impressed with Unai Emery thus far. And I think Rambo has also, we've seen him be injured, right? And I also think that in certain times he can show up in really big cup games, but I'm not sure how consistent he has been over the years. I think he's had wonderful moments, but at this point, I really believe that having a player like him is important to the squad. And I don't know why the deal isn't getting done. Could it be because of what's going on with Gazidis potentially leaving to go to AC Milan?
I don't think so, personally. I don't think so. I think, obviously, because he's an integral part of the team, and you're really talking about him being a captain or the captain, I don't see that playing a major part. Whether Gazidis stays or goes, this is going to have to be handled. So, you know, this, I just think it's the way the club have been over the last few years. They've been very lackadaisical about these kind of contracts and securing their top players. So, you know, hopefully this will be the last. We won't see this again.
All right. So let's move on to a player who has signed his contract. Unless, Amanda, you had something else to add about Rambo, because I think you kind of gave us the shit or get off the pot. And I like that answer better than anything.
Yeah, I'm sick of it, to be honest. I am sick of it. And I've said it for years that, you know, I think the clubs need to be fair to players, but I think the players need to be fair to the clubs. And I know it's all about money. I get it all. I'm from Kevin's era. So it's very hard for me when you saw people like Kevin or Tony Adams or Ian Wright would just sign for Arsenal. It just doesn't matter. It's Arsenal. I think that's gone out the window and I want to bring it back. But you're right. I was just going to say, I don't think we will see this again. I'm sure our behind the scenes management now, whether Gazidis stays or goes, and I know we'll discuss that later, will not allow this anymore. I think we've seen the last of it. I hope so. Club can't be run like this. Can't be held to ransom. You know, my cousin who I go to football with said to me, if they don't sign after 18 months of their contract running out, put them on the bench and sell them. Because at the end of the day, they want to play football. And you can't be held to ransom like this. You know, I love Aaron Ramsey and I want him to stay. But yeah, shit or get off the pot.
Ooh. Okay, now. Here is a player who has signed that I'm not excited about at all. I don't even think this is news, but I'm going to mention it just because some gooners are talking about it. Iwobi. To me, Iwobi is one of those players, whenever I hear people talking, it's like, oh, he has so much promise. He's still young. He's going to be potentially great. And I just don't see it with Iwobi. Probably one of the most inconsistent, frustrating Arsenal players in our current squad. Unai sees something in him. He's offered a new contract. I think that this doesn't excite me at all. I'm not sure if he's going to be able to elevate himself. He still seems very immature. He's had moments. But Amanda, I am not an Iwobi fan, as you know. And to me, this wasn't exciting news at all.
Weirdly, if Wenger would have still been there, I'd have been the same as you. But I'd like to see what he can do under Emery. I'm a little bit excited about him staying. I feel he's got more to give, actually. And I feel like he could be a decent player. But I'm going to give him this season. And then if he doesn't, then no. Okay, I was wrong. You know what I'm really excited about? I get very excited. The fact that Sunday week I'm going to the Emirates with thousands of us. And we're going to see something different. And that, after at least 3 or 4 years of me thinking every season, oh, here we go again. I'm so excited. I'm so pleased it's City, because I don't think we'll lose that day, but I just am excited. And I think maybe Iwobi was not played in the right way under Wenger. I'm not here to talk about Wenger. I'm just saying, let's just give everyone a chance. I don't know, Kev, do you sort of agree, or what's your opinions on Iwobi?
I'm right with you there. I think Iwobi's upside needs to be harnessed. You know, under Wenger, when he first came in, he looked great, didn't he?
Yeah.
And let's be honest, not only Iwobi, but the team kind of lost their way a little bit. And for a young player coming through, that's not what he needs. He needs some more stability than that. So under Unai Emery, I believe he's going to be structured. He's going to get good instruction from Unai Emery of what his job is. And he's going to be able to play from that platform. And I believe he's going to have a good season. I certainly hope so, because he's got great ability. And I want to see Arsenal players express themselves and excel. And there's no reason why you can't do that under this new manager. So I agree with you.
Ah, that's 2-1. Mm. That's all right. That's not too bad. I'll get you guys at some point. You are listening to the Highbury Squad. You can follow us on Twitter at Highbury Squad. Same address on Facebook and YouTube. Subscribe, join the community. We're just getting stuff up and running here. Our iTunes will be up and running in a couple of weeks, but you can find us and listen on YouTube, SoundCloud, and we will always put our links up on Twitter as well. Okay, so I said it's a 4-3-3 formation. That's three. I'll give you the fourth, and that is Gazidis. Does it matter if he stays or goes, Kevin?
I don't think it matters, because the two guys who were there, Sanelli and what's the other guy's name?
Miss Lintat.
No. Miss Lintat, that's the one.
I can't even, Miss Lintat. Can't
Sven.
Say
Let's call Lintat. Him Sven. Sven. Let's call yeah, him Sven.
yeah, from Dortmund. These guys seem to have their finger on the pulse. And you know what? They're bringing in players that are going to prove to be effective. Not the names that everybody else would have gone for, but they know Europe. So I believe in what they're doing. There seems to be a real good feel good factor around the place under this new regime. So, you know, I back these guys to get it right. So if Gazidis goes, of course he was quite instrumental in getting these guys to the club. But if he gets made an offer that he can't refuse, then, you know, thank you very much, Ivan Gazidis, and see you later.
No, Kev, I disagree now. Isn't that funny? When me and you never normally disagree.
Boom!
But yes, a few years ago, I wouldn't have cared less. But the last couple of years, he's made me sort of sit up and take notice. And I go to these like supporter events twice a year and I meet him. Well, I don't meet him, but I listen to him. And the last one I went to is when Emery was there, a couple of months ago. I was so taken with him, actually, this time. His passion for Arsenal actually shone through. I think he'll be a great loss, I have to say. But again, if he wants to go, he's got to go. I don't like all this at the moment, because it's unsettling us a little bit. I don't want to be talking about Gazidis. I don't want to be talking about the bald, Kroenke, nothing. I want to talk about Emery and the squad. But we seem to be talking about, is he going to Juventus? Is he not going? It's quiet from the club at the moment. Surely, with the season coming up, wouldn't he be gone by now?
Well, they've just, I think they just made, I'm not sure if it's true or not, and I haven't been able to really kind of dig into the story, but I did see a headline just before that we were coming on air that they had officially made an approach to Arsenal, did AC Milan. So, there's no smoke without fire. I think maybe it's time for an evolution, more of a revolution at the club. Unai Emery's doing it on the pitch. I agree completely with Kev. The minute Sven came into the mix, look at the players that he's looking at. Look at the players that he's bringing in, players that we've been craving for at the back, like Sokratis. And, you know, he's identified something in Mavropanos. But look at the Mkhitaryan deal, Aubameyang. you know, words that those players, especially Babasalopoulos, Aubameyang and Mkhitaryan, would they have come to the club without Sven's influence? I'm not sure. And would, you know, so I'm not fearful of that. I think they'll perfectly handle the business. And I think that, you know, I agree with you, Amanda. At this point, we shouldn't be talking about Gazidis. We should be focused on what's going on the pitch in our first match. But it doesn't always work that way. Okay, that's our four. And now I've got three for you right here, people. Listen, we have, without question, come off one of the worst seasons in Arsenal history. It was brutal from all angles. Not only was the football bad, but the culture, the atmosphere, everything started suffering. There does seem to be, though, and Vancouver Arsenal, a really good Canadian group of supporters who I've hung out with and watched games with, brought up a really good point on Twitter yesterday, and I wanted to address it, especially with Kevin and Amanda, in the sense that when a new coach comes in, players feel like they have a new chance. They feel like they're reborn. They feel like there's a new energy. And I've heard a couple of ex-players talk about the same thing too. There seems to be a vibe, you know, it's like a smells like team spirit vibe, Amanda. And I think that's translating into the videos we're seeing, the pictures. I don't know if I just want to believe in what's happening already, but don't you feel like there's a different air to the club right now and the players?
Playing devil's advocate, because I did want Wenger to go for 3 or 4 years, I feel it's a little bit unfair because I don't think we had the social media the last couple of years that we are having at the moment. I feel like I'm training with the players. I'm watching everything. It's amazing. And yes, you are seeing the team spirit. I never watched friendlies ever. They were never televised. I'm watching the goals. I'm watching what's going on the pitch, what's going on off the pitch. I watched Aubameyang in Singapore go to the fans and give his top or whatever. He came up to talk to somebody. I've never seen any of that before. It doesn't mean it didn't go on. It just means we didn't see it. So what we're seeing now is this amazing team spirit. And yes, you can't deny that. I definitely can see it. And it looks fun. They look together and they look like they want to play football. But did it not happen before and we didn't just see it? Or did it not happen? Kev, what was it? What was it like? I mean, when you had friendlies back in your day, wasn't it more just like Boreham Woods and Barnet? Or did you go abroad?
No, we used to go abroad. What we used to do, we used to go to Scandinavia because they were into their season quite a bit. And, you know, so they're fit and we're trying to get fit. So playing against those type of teams, it will be challenging for us, you know, which obviously is always, it's always a test when you're abroad. But what I've seen, and I've looked at the body of work that the players are doing and the way Unai Emery is involved with the training, you know, that's so important. And his assistant, is involved with the training, and you could see what they're trying to do. You could see that team spirit means a lot to them, and it's refreshing. I think, you know, for Arsenal fans, they haven't seen a lot of that going on because it's kind of been a bit cloak and dagger. Not to say it didn't happen, but was it actually allowed to be filmed? Probably not. So not saying that it was anything special, but you hear Bellerin come out and say that, you know, they've never worked as hard. That's a worry. From me, that's a worry, because you would expect Arsenal to be, you know, grafting, especially pre-season, but, you know, it wasn't the case. So I know moving forward, we're going to put labels on the team and we're going to do predictions and stuff like that. But I just like the feel-good factor, the way the boys are seeing the substitutes in Singapore doing a dance and stuff like that. That's what it's all about.
So, yeah, and that was fantastic to watch that. And obviously that got gift everywhere, didn't it? And you can feel, can't you, Kev, that we're all excited. I mean, I don't know anyone that isn't. Even the staunch Wenger-in people are excited. And that means a lot, because as what Sophie spoke about, the toxic atmosphere, I went to every home game and quite a few away games. It was everywhere. It was awful. You had, you know, terrible, like, debates going on with Arsenal fans that got heated. And you see it on social media, of course. And look, you know, I've always said everyone's entitled to their opinion, but it just got worse. You know, if we lost the game and everything was so unpleasant, I think the word is. And now it feels like it's swapped. But how long do you think that atmosphere will last? How long do you think the player, the fans will give him? Me personally, at least the season. Okay, but Kev, do you think that I always come back to the fact you're an ex-player, and it's really interesting for us because we're just fans. You are a fan, but you played as well. So you can give us that. When a new manager came in, okay, so you had George, didn't you? But was you there when Wenger came in?
No, I'd gone by then.
Yeah.
But remember, I've been around the leagues now. So
yeah.
I know what it's like when a new manager comes in. What I can say to you is this. A ball hasn't been kicked and we'll say, look, we'll give Unai Emery a year's grace.
Yeah.
Of course we would, because Arsene Wenger's done the business for 22 years. But we are in a results business. If Unai Emery loses often, remember, our away form last season was atrocious, especially this year. If Unai Emery picks up that mantle and we start losing away games, then you're going to start hearing the murmuring. I don't think it'll be as bad as it has been before, obviously under Wenger, but you're going to start hearing the rumbling of discontent. Because, unfortunately, that's the business we're in. We are in a results business. If he starts winning games and go on a good run, I mean, the start of the season, I think, is a great opportunity for Arsenal. You win those games and the fan base is going to be cock-a-hoop. So, you know, it's a very fine line. It really is.
I tell you, the worst thing that could happen to us is if we get a drubbing against City in that first match. That would be bad. I mean, I think if we put in a good performance and we show a little, the somewhat cohesiveness, we don't have to be brilliant. We don't have to be perfect. This is a new regime. This is a new team pretty much coming together. Yes, with some players. But look, Mkhitaryan and Aubameyang, they haven't had a full season yet, you know, and that's going to be really interesting to see how they combine together. I think that's a really exciting prospect. We've got some new energy in the back. I think, you know, the goalkeeping situation, I think that we all agree we'd still like to kind of strengthen and that midfield. You know, I think that we're going to evolve a little bit this year. So let's just hope we get off to a really good start. Okay, that's the first of your three in the middle. Now I'm going to ask you to put your school teacher hats on, all right? Be nice to the kids. School's out. School's been out this summer, but school is back in session. We are just over a week away from the start of the Premier League season. We can't wait. So I'm going to ask you, Ms. Amanda and Mr. Campbell, to grade our transfers so far. Now, remember, you can grade from A to Z in my school. You don't have to just grade from A to F. Did they used to do G when we were in school? No, I don't think so. And Amanda, I'm going to start off with you. Arsenal transfers so far this summer season. What is your grade and why?
A being the highest, yeah?
Well, you could give an A+ if you want.
Okay. I would probably say an F or a G. At the moment, it's very hard to say. We'll have to do it 6 months in.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Listen.
An F or G.
An F
yeah.
Or G?
Listen, out of A to Z, I'm being realistic here. Okay. Wait. Let me explain. Calm down.
Maybe.
Calm down, pupils. For a start, I can't say half the players' names. That's upset me for a start. I'm not Greek like you, so I can't even say his name. No, I think, look, I'm happy with what we've got. I'm still not sure the defence is where it should be. And that's probably why my grade is a little bit lower than your two is going to be. But it's really hard to say, Soph, because we haven't kicked a ball yet.
I would hate to be in your class. I would hate for you to be my teacher. I mean, seriously. An
Amanda,
F or a G.
You would love to be.
Amanda,
yes,
Amanda,
Kevin.
Answer the question. you're grading the transfers, not how they're going to start the season, the transfers, my dear.
Yeah, but how can you grade them, Kevin? You don't know what's going to happen until they cross that white line. So I could go, listen, I've always said this, Lionel Messi could come to Arsenal and be atrocious, yet he would come on his past history and we'd all be going through the roof. But he might not make it. Alexis Sanchez was fantastic for us and not great for United. So my point is, I don't know what you want me to say. Can't we grade them as the games go along?
No.
I mean, what? Well, yes.
No, let's just grade them.
Yes.
Why is it so difficult? And let me do it then.
You do
can
it.
Can I do it then?
Of course you can.
What I would give, I'd say a B minus is my grade. Great that he's addressed certain positions.
Kevin's bossing it. Kevin's bossing it. Give me crap. I love it.
He always gives me crap.
In the midfield.
Yes.
That was a superb signing. Watching him in the World Cup. That midfield, defensive midfielder, who's gonna be dogged. He's gonna be tough. He's gonna shield that back line. That's gonna be key for Arsenal. So, I just think, you know, the centre half, Socrates Pavlostopoulos, he's been fantastic. Listen, I believe there's been things that's been addressed that hasn't been addressed for years. I'm going to give a B minus, and it could go up to obviously an A as the season progresses. But at this moment in time, I'll give Unai Emery and Arsenal a B minus. How easy was that, Amanda?
I'm allowed to give an F if I want to out of Z, and it may go up as time goes on, like when you do well in your exams. You can't
grade
them. I
would love Kevin to be my teacher. I'm just saying I would love Casey to be my teacher. Listen, the Torreira signing alone, I agree with Casey, deserves an A minus just on its own.
Okay,
to be able to sign him as well when after he had that wonder game at the World Cup and we still close that deal where we've been known to get gazumped in situations like that, that to me, this guy, I think, could become an instant cult hero. If he gets off to a good start, the fans are going to be behind him. These new players are going to be given a chance. They may go on the manager's back a little bit, but the players will be given a chance. And I do agree. I think they'll give Unai a good year before they start moaning completely, as long as we gel and we put in some good performances on the pitch. But Torreira alone, A minus for me. Overall business, I'll give it a B plus, because he made more signings in week one than Wenger did in the entire window last season.
Doesn't mean that just because you sign six players, they're wonderful. Doesn't mean anything. Let's just wait till we start. Yes, Torreira, I'd probably give an A for that. But we're not doing it on that. We're doing it on the whole thing. Do you think then, both of you, that our defence is good enough for the Premier League?
I think that we still need to make, look, Lischteiner is going to be there for cover, right? He's aging, but he comes with a lot of experience. So I think that he's going to be able to contribute. Bellerin, I have a feeling, could have his best. I know I've said this about Ozil, but I think Ozil and Bellerin have massive seasons ahead. I think they could really put this team on their shoulders, and we could see the Bellerin that Barcelona wanted, that the Spanish squad wanted. And so, you know, for me, have we improved? Yes, Mavropanos, he had a couple great games and everyone fell in love with him, but it's very different playing against City, United, Chelsea and being a player week in, week out. Babastalopoulos, he's our new Tony Adams, in my opinion, KC. What do you think?
I do. I like him. But I think the key to Arsenal's defence is going to be that little dynamo in midfield, Torreira. I really think he's going to be that shield that we've missed for years and years. If Arsenal's back four are going to be able to do well, he's going to have to play well. And I believe he's made for Arsenal. I really believe he's made for Arsenal. So I think they have improved.
Well, you're entitled to your opinions. And yes, Torreira, I agree. I just would like to wait until the season begins. Anyway, moving on.
No, Amanda, would you like another centre half?
Yes, darling, I would. I would.
Right,
and that's my issue. That's why it's a little bit of an F. But you know what? As I said, and I will give everyone a chance, like I will with Iwobi, it's a new dawn. It's a new beginning. And I think everyone should be given a clean slate. Let's see what happens. When Bellerin joined us, for me, he was not world class, but he was absolutely phenomenal. I loved him. He's just gone downhill. We don't know why. It could be coincidence or just the fact he has. So I'm going to give him a clean slate. Everybody. So we've got our new Twitter account at Highbury Squad. We'd love you all to follow it. And we asked if anyone has any questions. Now, Akers Arsenal 98, someone that I tweet with a lot, he wanted us to talk about Ramsey, which we've done. So thanks for your question, but we already covered it. Someone else that I tweet with a lot, it's quite interesting actually. Soph, I'll come to you first. It is Dragomir Vardarov at Drago Arsenal 94. If we finish top four, would you view it as a solid first season for Emery, considering where we have been the last couple of seasons?
In a nutshell, 100%, absolutely yes. Next. Yeah.
Kev?
Yep.
Yeah.
100%. Look, if you gave us the top four now position, we would take it because that means Champions League football again. So, yeah, I totally agree with yourself. That would be game, set and match for us. Thank you.
I 100% agree as well. I mean, when I was on the radio a couple of weeks ago, they said I was getting giddy. And I said, why? And they said that you think top four is okay and that you would accept that. I said top four and going back to Wembley and winning the FA Cup. But I said, we're not in the top four the last couple of seasons. So what do you want me to say? I'm quite excited. But, you know, when you're non-Arsenal now, most Arsenal now would take top four. And I actually do, for the first time, will admit this. I do miss the Champions League nights. I do like the Europa League, but I do miss that being in the top draw sort of thing. But you know what? So we've had a little funny question. Kev, I'm going to come to you with it. my mate Steve Jackman at I_am_SteveJ said, what do you think of the new Tottenham ground and its architecture? I think we know what he's getting at.
Well, I've actually put something on Twitter, didn't I? Asking yes. A question. Does their new stadium resemble Akazi, you know. And it actually did look like that. Listen, we like the wind up, don't we? We like to have fun with it. It's going to be a lovely stadium, I'm sure. And but it did look like the toilet in the picture.
Yep.
But the original name that they've given it was a bit crazy for me.
What was it, Kev? What did they give it?
They called it the Tottenham Stadium or something.
Oh.
You know, that's so original, isn't it?
That's so bloody them, garbage. Isn't it?
Bloody garbage. So, yeah,
listen, I've taken care. Listen, what do you think of Tottenham? What do you think of... Anyway.
Yes, darling.
I've taken care of business, trust me. Not because of a choice, but due to professionalism, had to watch Tottenham train here in LA last week. And if you go to our YouTube channel at Highbury Squad, you will find a little video that solidifies their history for the next 100 years. And I shall leave it at that. Or the little caveat is, did I put a little wee curse on them? Maybe. All right. So that takes care of Tottenham for the next few seasons, Amanda.
I loved your little video. It was like secret agent Soph.
Amazing. Amazing. Any more Twitter questions, we'll answer for you online. Reach out to at Highbury Squad and we'll get all of them answered. We are going to do a little segment with our very special guest. And this is your little surprise, Mr. Kevin Campbell. You don't know about this yet. But we are going every single week when Kevin is with us. We're going to go into Kev's corner.
Super Kevin Campbell. Oh, nice one.
Yeah. Now, go on.
No, I was going to... And he's not actually taking a physical corner. It's just his little corner if he chooses to put up a little table or a high top with a pint of lager or a glass of wine. He can kick back, relax, and not only answer your questions, but answer mine and Amanda's questions. Because as fans, we always want to know, and we're so happy to have him on the show because getting the players' thought and getting inside the player's brain. You just can't beat that. So for this week's Kev's Corner, the question to you, Kev, is what was the most intimidating stadium you played at throughout your entire career and why?
The most intimidating. Do you know, I wouldn't quite say intimidating. I mean, we're talking the era of Millwall at Coldblow Lane. You know, that was pretty intimidating. But a stadium I really liked playing at because it was, they tried to intimidate, but we had some serious mega battles with them, was Elland Road, was Leeds. And, you know, they had a fantastic team at the time under Howard Wilkinson. And we had some titanic battles. I remember some FA Cup battles we had with them, which ding-dong back and forth from Highbury to Elland Road. And we ended up going through at the time, which was great. Had some fantastic league games there as well. So, you know, I know there's better stadiums around, but they created some noise at Elland Road and it was really good. I really
nice.
Enjoyed it.
Nice.
Really enjoyed it.
Kev, my little question to you, and then you can ask me and Soph if you want something. not that we'll answer it, but you can try. Who had in the changing rooms the worst music ever?
Well, you got to remember, back then there wasn't really music in the, you know, that was like Wimbledon used to put music, and I don't think George Graham would have had the music.
Right,
such. But I mean, John Jensen's musical taste wasn't the greatest. That I could tell you.
Neither were his clothes. Crikey.
Well, we all
or a
know
disaster.
That. All,
or his hair, for God's sake.
Listen, John Jensen Faxa was rocking a fro, man. He was rocking a baby fro. We used to wind him up with
fro.
That as well. We used to love it.
Oh, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant stuff. Well, listen, we've been rifling through the show today. That's your 433 pretty much, people. Don't forget, you can follow us at Highbury Squad on Twitter. Same on Facebook, same on YouTube. We're loving having Kev on the show. It's going to be so insightful this season. We're going to bring you some specials as well along the way, as well as covering all the games. Next week's show is, prepare yourselves, teachers. I've got a task for you. We're going to come at you with our predictions, our top four, our relegations, who will be crowned champions, who will win the FA Cup and the Carling Cup. I still call it the Carling Cup, or actually the Rumbelows Cup. And give you all of our thoughts on the entire season. So you won't want to miss that show. Today's show was to cover a little bit of what's been going on, introduce the new pod to you a little bit, our style, our format, and the things for everyone to look forward to. We'll also be doing some Google Hangouts, live broadcasts from the stadium, and so much more. Amanda, can you vouch for all of that, please?
I can vouch for everything, young Sophie. I just want to make a point that I've just realised I'm still the oldest person on this podcast. I'm now 49. Oh, my God. I'll be 50 next year. By this time next year, I'll be 50. That you have to come to England for my big party, just to let you know. So you need to book that.
I will. And happy birthday to you, by the way. You just had your birthday a couple of days ago. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Amanda. Happy birthday
to you.
You.
She was told that she was
30. Yeah, I did. That upset you, Kev, didn't it? That you went, you look 30.
No, it did upset me. You look young. Of course you
hilarious.
Look young. Of course you look young.
When I have my pigtails in my braids, I look about 19. It's quite funny. No, but I'm 49 and age is but a number. And that's what we have to think for Lichsteiner. There we go. I think I've even said his name right.
Look at you with your pronunciations.
Get me.
Well,
so
you'll get Babasavobulos eventually.
Oh my God. You even say it Greek. You change your accent. That's why I keep laughing through the pod. You go.
Well, I am Greek. I know, remember.
Right. I need so to learn. I love halloumi and Greek food, so I'm all right. I'm just going to learn it. Yes, let's thank everybody for all your tweets and please follow us on Facebook as well. And I think we're going to be on Instagram as well. We just want to bring you lots of different things. We're also going to have Fans of the Week on. So we'd love to hear on our Twitter at Highbury Squad from you all. So, yeah. And I'd
and
like
is
to...
that is that all fans? Is that all fans?
Do you know what,
or
Kev?
Is it just Arsenal fans?
No, we want all fans, and we were going to talk. We were going to talk to you about this because obviously you are a big Evertonian as well. So we'd love to have some Everton fans on to discuss as well their rivalry with Liverpool and everything, how they felt about you playing and where they think their season's going to go. So if you could get this out to your Everton friends, yeah, absolutely, 100%. And we are going to have Red Nose John on at one point during this season. I will warn you, Sophie. First of all, I'll have to host it because I have to keep him in check because he does not stop talking, does he, Kev?
He doesn't.
No, he doesn't. But he's going to make you all laugh because he's fabulous. He's a fabulous scouser. So
Awesome. And the other thing we're going to do as well is a round table with other fellow Gooner podcasts. We've got a great community of Gooner podcasts, a lot of friends out there who we love and adore. And when we all get together, it's a big old laugh. And so look forward to that too. And so we're really excited about the new season ahead. We're all looking forward to seeing our new Arsenal. Mr. Kevin Campbell, thank you once again for coming on the show and being part of the squad. We really appreciate it, mate.
Thank you very much, ladies. Thanks for having me. And I will see you next time, next week.
You will, Casey.
There's only one way. And by the way, I've been on location today. So if you've heard a baby crying in the background, it's because a baby was crying in the background.
I didn't hear anything.
I'll be back in the studio next week. And Amanda, there's only one way to sign off, girlfriend. You tell them.
I'm not sure I can remember. Of course I can. Always Arsenal.
Welcome to the Highbury Squad. You can follow us on Twitter at Highbury Squad. In fact, it's the same on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and eventually iTunes. Join me, Sophie, aka at Soccer Diva, Amanda, aka at Gooner Girl 1969, and our very special guest, Super Kev, Super Kevin Campbell. It's just like being down the pub with your mates.